Bunker Show here on Channel Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and she's back, the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I've been on the beach.
You've been...
On the beach.
On the beach. Well, I haven't seen many pictures of you on your beach. I've seen lots of pictures of drink, lots of pictures of food.
Paella.
Lots of pictures of food and drink, and some drink and some food, but not a lot of beach pictures.
There is a theme here, isn't there?
Yeah.
The paella was... well, we've tried lots of different paellas. So this holiday, we always have the old mixed
one. Simon W. We've got two Simons in the studio.
It's
so
for
this afternoon, it's Simon T and Simon W. Simon W is off to Spain for shortly as well.
Whereabouts?
Yeah.
Somewhere not far from Malaga, and my wife
can't pronounce
she
it.
She booked the tickets and she's told me three times, but Lovely. It meant nothing to me, so I can't remember.
Fabulous.
Actually, I know what airport I'm going to. I shall look it up and tell you, because
it always helps if you know which airport you're going to.
I think I'm flying out of Gatwick. That bit I know, because I have to drive us there. But she actually sent me a diary appointment to tell me.
It's a fabulous wife you have.
We're flying to Malaga. So there you go. We're flying to Malaga Airport. That bit I know, but I don't know beyond that.
Yeah. Well,
Portobanus is very nice.
That's why I said Portobanus, and he went, no, yeah.
But I'm in Valencia, so it's the land of paella, famous for paella. So you have the mixed one, which has rabbit and...
Mixed? I thought that was Guinness.
Mixed.
Oh, mixed. Mixed. Sorry, I thought you said mixed.
Because you've got a cold. You are poorly today, aren't you?
I've been poorly for ages.
Honestly.
I'm suffering.
Poorly.
Yeah, my knee's gone as well.
Oh, no. Yeah.
He's falling apart. Bits are dropping off.
Exactly, yeah. Well, not the right bits, though.
No.
I've got lots of bits that should drop off, but I don't.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to purse my lips on that one and not get involved.
I wouldn't.
Because it sounds like it could go down a rocky road.
Yeah, something like that.
What I was going to say was, for your knee, collagen is very good, and green lip muscle. And then for your cold, of course,
attach muscles to your knee.
Green lip muscle, no, you eat it.
I thought collagen was what you put in face filler.
In your lips, she's having me on, isn't she?
I take collagen every day, Simon.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go.
Little smoothie, little marine collagen.
Marine collagen
would get your cogs working. And I'm sure they do work very well, all of your cogs. Let's not mention that they don't. But for your knee, your jippy knee, collagen and green lip muscle, you can buy it in Holland.
I don't like green lip muscles.
You just swallow one in the glass.
I don't like
water.
Them. I only like small muscles. Ask Amanda, I only like small muscles.
I'm talking about a supplement, though. You can take a supplement if you don't
supplements,
like.
Get out of it.
My new husband, every morning, gets a little egg cup.
Yeah, but it's not his choice. You just give it to him.
He doesn't know what he's taking.
No, you drug him every morning and he goes out of the house completely. He rattles as he goes out, and I see him quite often. I go, Gavin, what are you taking? I don't know, mate. She just gives me egg cups full of pills.
My first wife tried that with me, but I didn't.
You survived.
Yeah. I wouldn't play.
No, he takes them. He doesn't. But my new husband is getting annoying now on holiday.
All right.
Because lockdown, men started growing their hair and things, didn't they? Some that could.
I don't care.
So he now has long hair, and being a man, he won't get it trimmed.
He looks like D'Artagnan.
Has he got a man bun?
Everything on holiday. He's got bits up here and bits down there. So now he's stealing my ponytail rubber elasticy things.
Right.
Your Alice bands.
He's stealing my
ponytail. Alice bands. He's stealing your Alice bands, isn't he? Yeah.
He goes, have you got a new...
Well, he's got this nice little beard as well. He looks like D'Artagnan. Yeah, he really does.
I made the classic mistake of shaving off the beard that I've had since before I left school 1 week on holiday. My wife took one look and said words that I will never forget.
Oh dear.
You look like your mother. At which point the beard started growing back immediately. That was the ultimate oh my goodness me, I need to grow my beard.
But I'm sure your mum would have been really pleased about that. I would, you know, I look quite like my oldest Josh, and you know, I'm always, you know, when people say, well, you're light, I love that.
Well,
no, I don't get that from my daughter. People say to Ellie, just like your dad, and she's like, I'm not happy about it.
It is nice resemblance anyway. So yes, lots of I was having cava ecologica. Echolochicha.
I beg your pardon.
Echolochicha.
Right,
you have to say. Because if you don't do all the they don't understand you.
All right, and what is
organic cava. Echolochicha.
Right.
It sounds even better after you've had
Yeah.
Oh, God. My Spanish gets really good after a few carvers.
Do you find
that, Simon?
Yeah.
Practically.
They can't understand a word she's saying. They just go, she's a drunk Spaniard.
So we did, but we were.
Did you see that?
I
had to laugh when you talked about organic and the conversation we were having before we went on air about plant based food and what have you.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that video somebody posted of a woman arguing with a guy in a supermarket?
No.
Yeah. She walked into, it was in America. She walked into a supermarket and she wanted a chicken, yeah. And she said, I want an organic chicken and it better be grass fed. The guy's gone, chickens don't eat grass.
No, they eat
don't
grass.
You give me that. I want a grass-fed, free-range, organic chicken.
Oh, well,
the latest one is instant potato.
That's
plant-based instant potato.
Well, plant-based is a bandwagon, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a marketing thing.
It's chemicals. Yeah. It's just chemically produced food.
It's the universal greenwashing of just about everything, including matters financial, which is just hilarious.
Well, I was saying, my new husband went to the Reuters conference yesterday, which was about sustainability and stuff, and the whole meal was vegetarian and the lunch was pescatarian, and they blamed the whole thing on poor little moo cows.
So
here's the question: has he come up with a definition of sustainability?
Who? Reuters?
Well, anybody. Yeah. I mean, because I went to a financial services conference Claridge's last
week.
Very
darling, how lovely.
Great fun.
I bet the food was amazing there.
The food was okay. I wouldn't say it was amazing, but it wasn't bad. I mean, it was only...
I suppose it depends on the budget.
Finger buffet stuff. It wasn't sit down stuff.
Yeah.
But the number of speakers, number of very interesting subjects, worth attending as it happens, to be fair. But we had two or three presenters talking about sort of the ESG
piece.
And I actually interrupted one of the main platform speakers.
Could you please
define the word sustainable? And there was this long pause, and he said, I suppose I should have led with that, really. And I said, well, it would be helpful. And I mean, effectively, they've reworked the word ethical, because actually sustainable effectively means ethical.
And there's
lots of other words in that space. We could have a long debate about the semantics of it, which is not very interesting to listeners, so we won't. But it's quite fascinating. They keep changing the vocabulary to try and keep the debate relevant. And it's not all that helpful.
It's quite similar with climate change as well. When they talk about the damaging rise in temperatures, but what they can't tell you is what they expect the global average temperature to be and why that's important and how they intend to maintain it at that once they've got it down.
They just keep using this threat in a way, don't they, that if it goes beyond a certain temperature it becomes
unstable. It'll be Armageddon.
Well, it's little Joe Public that's causing it all, apparently. You know, so when I'm in the city, there's lights on all night in the offices. They're left on all night. Nobody turns them off.
The problem with medians and averages is they're meaningless anyway. There was a point last year...
Head in the oven, feet in the fridge. On average, you're about right.
Yeah, exactly. There was a point last year where in Djibouti, in West Africa, the temperature hit 44 degrees centigrade on a day. Yeah, it's about 120. Yeah.
Warm.
Yeah, on the same day in Irkutsk in Siberia, it was minus 54. So what's the average temperature? You know, it's like you say, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Did you know that North Korea yesterday dropped a bomb on Japan?
No, they didn't. They fired a missile over Japan.
Over the top of Japan.
It's pretty nasty, and that's. I think they did it 5 years ago as well.
Yeah.
I'd just like to remind people that they can.
Yeah.
But just before we digress to that interesting point, the one that I always like to remind people when I have this debate, and I'm sure people around this table will know the answer to this, when did the last ice age end on planet Earth? It's a pop quiz.
It hasn't.
People would debate that one, but there's
look in my freezer.
We're in an interglacial.
Most people would say 100,000 years.
That's 12,000 years ago.
And that's the right answer, Mr. Andrews. Thank you very much indeed. So Paul is well read.
12,000 years ago.
So in planetary evolution terms,
it's very near.
Climate change is a real thing happening all the time, and the ice was around mainland continents that we are around now 12,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're all panicking about the fact that we're warming up. Well, we've warmed up quite a lot from when it was an ice age. So
We're technically in an interglacial. The Ice Age officially ended about 12,000 years ago. What happens, you go through a period of instability before it moves on to another thing. And because these time frames are long time frames, we're still technically in an interglacial. So basically, the Ice Age hasn't technically finished, although the ice retreated 12,000 years ago, and the United Kingdom, or the British Isles, were populated after the end of the Ice Age, when the ice melted and you could walk across from the continent. And then after the Great Britain, the British Isles were populated, there was a massive storm. A couple of thousand years after people moved in, there was a massive storm that caused a tsunami, which broke the thin barrier between what is now Dover and Calais and allowed the water from the North Sea to flood in.
Is this what you read about of an evening?
I'm just a history freak.
You just
so love. Tune into Business Bunker, folks, and get a lesson in natural history and global
Well, warming. I tell you, I can predict the weather because this morning my lovely Mark, my lovely window cleaner came. So I knew it would rain. I've actually bought my raincoat. And it's a waterproof one. It's not a showerproof one. It's waterproof.
Well, my son read Earth Sciences and Geophysics at university. So
Jenny. Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Read all his papers then, yeah?
Yeah.
Paul wrote most of them.
No, I didn't. He's very smart. He's a very smart guy. And he educated me on a lot of this. Yeah. You need to talk to him about basalt traps if you're worried about cows.
I might. Can I travel to France now? With only one jab.
All the restrictions have ended.
I might go and stay in his little hamlet.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's very nice there.
Have a chat.
Yeah, no, all the restrictions there have ended.
Good.
Right.
They've ended in Australia as well now, finally.
Yeah, they have.
Just last week.
And New Zealand.
It's just been announced and it ends this week, I think. It's just finally happened.
Spain is complete theatre. I've spent all this money getting my certificate of COVID recovery, cost, I don't know, 80 quid and then 80 quid for the PCR test. And I've been to Ibiza, Spain twice, so six journeys. Sorry, climate change. And they never checked them once.
No.
They don't even look at them.
I showed you my passport, didn't I? When I went to front, you know, they stamp your passport in and out to make sure you're not there for more than 90 days.
Yeah.
The last time I went, they stamped my passport, but there was no ink on the stamp. So all there is a pink outline. There's nothing in it. When I came back, the border control people looked at it and they went, that's not helpful, is it?
Well, nobody's wearing masks now on the planes and everything. It's kind of nice.
Unless you're Chinese.
Oh, well. Yeah. But
they're all still wearing masks.
They were wearing
masks before COVID.
Yeah, that's true.
They're used to, aren't they? They're used to toeing the line in China. And Simon T and I were having a little chat off air, so we'll have to talk more about towing the line and stuff like that.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, I'll tell you what, do you want to read a tweet or an email?
Yeah, I had a lovely tweet from one of our previous guests, the lovely Charlie. Do you remember Charlie?
I do, yeah.
Charlie O'Hara.
From AGK Herne Bay.
AGK Herne Bay and Whitstable.
Yeah.
And she has asked if we would share, they're looking for local businesses, so we know lots of local businesses on Bee Bunker. Please tweet in and use the Bee Bunker hashtag if you want to mention today. But they're looking to, if you could donate items and prizes for their volunteer Christmas party. They're very grateful for any donations, whether large or small. And you can contact them on Age UK. That's on the Twitter, Age Bay, B-A-Y. You'll find Charlie there beavering away and doing all her work. So, as you know, Age UK are brilliant. They're a volunteer charity and they do so much for the elderly. And I think there's a lot of elderly that are going to be very frightened this winter coming, don't you, Simon T?
I think it's
worried about heating and
the situation that they're in. Yeah. Worried about heating, worried about, you know, how they keep themselves warm. And I think, you know, a lot of it is down to the fact that they're also being fed a lot of information from the BBC and about how terrible
constant.
It's going to be.
Yeah.
There are some subsidies and there is some support. And I think there's a lot of volunteer organisations out there that are doing so much at the moment that I think they just need to put their hand up and ask for help if they
need. And that's why I'm so keen, and Paul as well, on supporting local businesses, because if you go to your butcher, your baker, your greengrocer, they will deliver to elderly and they'll also have a chat, you know, a nice natter. How are you? You know, my mum's 91 and they'll always deliver to her. She does a little text and sends them what she wants. They deliver.
My heating bills went down this month.
Oh, good.
I got the government.
You turned everything off?
No. I got a government grant. I say they've gone down. The amount they've taken off me has gone down, by £67, which is the government allowance that they've given.
The thing is, it's not helping. You know, there are these companies. My daughter works for one, Bionic, who help businesses get the best rate.
Yeah.
So now that Liz Truss
energy brokers,
has done it, my daughter's business is freaking out, actually, because they can't do anything.
Yeah.
It's all one level.
Yeah.
Well, we've just had a prediction. I'm the treasurer of a church in Canterbury, just an Anglican church, nothing very exciting in that respect. And our energy bill for last year was £12,000 for a church. And we've got a centre and a couple of meeting rooms on the side, and we've got a hall, but I mean, it's not a massive plant. And the projected bill for the current year is £36,000.
It's frightening, isn't it?
And that's a 24,000, and that's coming out of the back pocket of members of the congregation primarily. Yeah. Now, the good news is we think, although we're not certain, we think that we will still get the government support to that, but actually we're contacting the energy broker, which is actually the national thing for the Church of England. There's a buying group for the whole Church of England, and even they aren't sure whether the prices that we've been quoted include this grant or not, because it's moving so fast. So what hope your mum, and what hope Joe Public generally.
Exactly. Don't you think it's making us all sort of depend on handouts from the government?
Yeah, exactly.
In a way. I'd rather just be out of work and pay my bill. Not everybody can, but
I have mentioned this before. The spot price of gas has plummeted.
Yeah.
For a start. Now, you buy it forward, so, you know, it's not going to come down for a month or so because you buy some, so they're still supplying us expensive gas. But the single biggest problem, and I cannot believe that the government didn't address this first, is the way they charge you and cap for power. What they do is they take the most expensive price, which at the moment is gas, and then apply it to everything.
Yeah.
Electric. So renewables cost half what they charge you, but they charge you the full price because Ofgem, the Ofgem cap and the pricing is based on the most expensive unit of power. They use the gas price to price electricity, which is bonkers.
Yeah.
It's utterly bonkers.
Well, it's doubly bonkers for us because I live in the country in a village, and we don't have mains gas.
Yeah.
So our
which village
is,
you in?
We're in a little village called Postling, sort of between Liminge and Hyde.
Yeah. Mm.
And we have a relatively new house, but it's got oil-fired central heating. And when we first moved there 9 years ago, I filled up the tank with oil. It was £365. It ran out in the summer at the worst possible moment, and I sort of undernard about whether I just turned the immersion heater on for the hot water, which is all we needed it for, because that's electric, or whether I just filled the tank up with oil. I thought it could keep going on. I'll just buy some. And I paid £1,000 for the same 1,000 litres. And then to add insult to injury, 3 weeks ago, the oil tank sprang a leak. So there's a little home economics lesson, dear listener. If you have an oil tank and it's plastic, their shelf life is 20 years.
Yes.
And if your tank is more than 20 years old, you should seriously think about replacing it. Because they told me if my tank had leaked properly, fortunately it didn't, because the really great heat boiler engineers fixed it for us, it would have cost the thick end of £20,000 to do the clear up, because you've got to dig the contaminated oil out of the ground with a digger, and goodness knows what else. It's a massive, massive thing.
Mm.
So it's worth being aware of. And oil's a little bit expensive to lose at that rate as well.
Mm. Another little trick if you've got an oil tank is put a lock on it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the amount of times I had my oil stolen was nobody's business.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember we had this conversation. I remember you telling me that.
It's
unbelievable.
If it was stolen once, it was stolen five times.
I've just bought a generator, only a small one. My cleaner got a generator, and it made me think, and she's really pretty sussed, and hasn't been jabbed, very sussed. And so she bought this generator, so I've bought a generator now, but it's just enough to, it was about £330, but it's enough for a laptop, a phone to charge, and it's got a little battery as well so that it can save.
And if you put a kettle on the microwave, it'll cut it out because they take a huge amount of juice.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's enough to keep us with a phone at least. Yeah, which is important. We get cuts.
There was a fantastic video on Twitter yesterday of a chap, again in America, in a petrol station, and he had a Tesla. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I know where this is going, yeah.
Yeah, he stood there with a petrol hose, and the guy behind him is filming him, and eventually the guy behind got out, and he's mucking, the guy's mucking around, and there's the dial's going round, and he's. Where's he putting the petrol, for crying out loud? So eventually the guy got out and he went, you got an electric car there, mate. Where are you putting the petrol? And he went, and he opened the boot and he had a generator in the boot. Yeah, a diesel generator, and he was putting diesel in the generator.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that was the classic, because the other version of that is a Tesla run out of juice at the side of the road, and there is a diesel generator behind it putting charge into it so it can get it home.
Yeah, yeah,
because
exactly.
That's the only way that they can recharge the batteries. If you've got an electric car and you run out of petrol, they put some petrol in your car.
Yeah.
If the AA show up and you've got an electric car and it's run out, then you're stuck. I'm thinking of going electric for my next car.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to place an order for a new car.
Mm.
You know what the lead time on the order is?
Oh, well.
12 to 18 months.
Well, Terry Thorpe would...
12 to 18 months.
Yeah.
My new car was due for delivery this month. They've just told me it won't be here till at least early next year.
Is that the
and
chips
I, Hold on. And I ordered it last January.
Mm.
What are you going for? Order? What have you gone for?
It's a BMW. Huh?
Is it which one?
Five series.
So you're giving up with Mercedes?
Yeah, I'm fed up with them.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm in a Mercedes at the moment, and I'm looking at the BMW
Simon Teague
M50 thing that's electric, the i4 M50. Yeah.
Simon Teague.
I have an electric car.
What have you got?
Do your feet come out the bottom to run like Fred Flintstones?
It's a bit like that, yeah, because it's a Hyundai, so it's...
Hyundai.
Their electric cars are very highly rated.
They
are.
Well, all the Japanese cars.
Is it electric or hybrid?
No, it's full electric,
okay.
And I got it 3 years ago.
Right.
So I feel like I was one of the pioneers of electric cars, because when I first got it, you'd go up the motorway, go up the M1, you'd go to three or four stations on the way up. They might have one charger.
Yeah.
It's not working.
Yeah.
The next charger, there's five cars queuing.
Yeah.
The next charger, again, it's not working. Mm. And I'm down to like 1%. The stress of having electric
car imagine.
At that point was...
How are you finding the pricing of charging out there? Because I read that it's going through the roof. And somebody was telling me the other day that they paid on a public charger more to charge their car electric than they would have done to fill it with petrol.
Well, I'm not seeing that.
Right,
no, I'm not seeing that. I think it's brilliant now, because if you go around the M25, for example, to Cobham Services, they've got 10 Ionic charge points.
Yeah.
And every time I've been there, they're free.
Right, okay.
I think it's something I either found a loophole in the system. I only take half an hour to...
Yeah, but that means you've got to hang around for half an hour.
You've got to go for once you've gone for a coffee and a bit of a break and...
I'm being polite, but some of us are gentlemen.
I take my own food.
Yeah.
And my own coffee. My coffee, my little flask is in the car. I had lovely coffee on the way in. I was looking at the Honda Hybrid, which has got both, you know, the electric and the thing. But I discuss it with Terry Thorpe.
We have a motoring correspondent. We have this conversation once a month about the failure
that
of electric...
That greyhounds, basically.
Yeah, the failure of electric vehicles as a way forward at the moment. Mm. But, hybrids are the thing.
As the one who's actually owned and run one, what's been your experience over 3 years? Have you rated it? Has it been worthwhile once you got over the fear of running out of charge?
Yeah, I think I would definitely rate it, because in this 3-year period there was a tax break to do
which there isn't anymore.
That's out. And the first year was stressful because you were pioneering. There weren't anywhere, wasn't anywhere to charge. Mm. I think the infrastructure is much better.
Mm. Can't you have your own generator?
Well, you can, but I think it's going to become a problem again, because as more and more cars become electric, you're never going to have the infrastructure. We were in London the other day, and they're putting charge points into lampposts.
Yeah.
Which is very clever.
That's a good idea.
But But, you know, you're still going to need charge points everywhere.
But then you can't stop in London.
Yeah. It's like in California, they've now issued an edict asking people not to charge their cars overnight because they can't provide the electricity to do it. And that's the problem, isn't it?
I think we need an electricity. We have to get Bob Beattie on. He's good on sustainability and things.
Right. Anyway.
Well, we've got a little tweet from Martin Reeves.
Well, yeah, I'm sure we have, but we're so far behind time now. It's unbelievable.
You want to play a tune, do you?
I need to play the cheeky tune. We're almost finished the show.
It's the Simon Show. I told you. I mean, I could have stayed on the beach, really.
Do you know, this is a first. This is show number 599. And this is a first.
Of what?
We've got cheeky tunage for both guests in one cheeky tunage.
Yeah, well, I was thinking on the way in, will it be Simon and Garfunkel? Will it be Simple Simon Says?
Of course it will be the 1910 Fruit Gum Company.
Yeah, Simple of course Simon it will Says.
Be. Of course it will
What's
be.
What's the band called?
The 1910 Fruit Gum Company.
Put your hand on your hip.
That's it.
Your backbone slip, Simon Says. Yep.
That's it. You got it.
A good song.
Put your hands in the air, shake them all about. Do it when Simon says, and you will never be out. Simple Simon says, put your hands on your hips, let your backbone slip, Simon says. Simple Simon says, put your hands on your hips, let your backbone slip, Simon says. Put your hands on your hips, bring them down by your side, shake them to your left, now shake them to your right. Put your hands on your head, bring them down by your side, shake them to your left, now shake them to your right. Now that you have learned to play this game with me, you can see it's not so hard to do. Let's try it once again, this time more carefully, and I hope the winner will be you. Clap your hands in the air,
become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Welcome back. That was the 1910 Fruit Gum Company.
Very, very clever.
From the 1960s.
Yeah, I used to dance around with my Auntie Edna to that, I seem to remember.
I actually had an album by the 1910 Fruit Gum Company years ago. Yeah, they also did a number one, which was Here We Go Round the Mulberry Bush.
How remember did that go then?
No, I'm not going to sing
Here
it
We Go
you.
Round the Mulberry Bush.
No. It wasn't done as a nursery rhyme.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about when I heard that. Do you remember as a kid in probably the 70s, when you first heard Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Water? I was listening to it the other day on my playlist. And I just remember being with my mates, and we would just sit on the floor and play it over and over and over again on a record player.
Yeah.
That's all we did all night. It was just lovely.
Yeah, boring, eh?
And sing all the songs and all the words. It wasn't boring. It was lovely.
Yeah.
We did that with Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah. Pink Floyd,
Dark,
of course.
Dark Side of the Moon, Wish You Were Here. I always prefer Wish You Were Here. I think that was their best album by Sam Martin. I love that album.
Well, all of those were the thing. Or Tubular Bells was the other one, wasn't it? That people would listen to all night.
But that's if you're an academic, Tubular Bells. You know, my academic friends used to listen to that more. Oh, I was more Slade.
Does that make me an academic? Mind you, if it makes you Slade, that certainly does not make you an academic.
Simon Teague, who did you listen to?
I was a bit of a new romantic.
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh, I can see that.
Well, you're a bit younger than the rest of us.
Long red hair.
Yeah. You've still got that.
Bit of Duran Duran.
Nice one. Right, so let's talk to Simon. It's a pleasure to welcome back Simon Teague after a bit of a break. We'd like to invite you on to talk about your conference, but you didn't do one last year, like most things, I think.
No, we did.
Did you?
It was very, very last minute.
Right, okay.
You know, it was, is there a lockdown? Isn't there a lockdown? Yeah, is there this? Yeah. Is there that? Is there that?
Yeah.
Is there restrictions? Is there, so we did.
Right.
In October last year, up at Detling, actually, we had a little corner of a very, very large.
A bit echoey, was it?
It was a bit echoey, but it was fun.
Cool. Well, you're back this year with a vengeance. Yes. So why don't you kick off? I'll tell you what, Simon, tell us a little bit about you, and the kind of things you do, because you've been involved in lots of interesting projects locally, and then tell us about the King's Summit.
Yeah, cool. So I'm a business and executive coach. My company is New Level Results. I have a team now of over 40 coaches.
Really?
That work for me all around the UK.
Right.
We work with large corporates and wind farm companies, councils. We do a number of government programs, in particular helping and supporting SMEs to grow their business or to trade through the very challenging period that we've all been in.
Sure, yeah.
We've been running a number of peer-to-peer programs around the country, which has been great fun, because if you can get 10 business owners in a room, you have some really interesting...
You get 10 completely different answers to 10 completely different questions. Yeah, a bit like economists, really.
It's very interesting. Yeah. So that's really my day job. I'm now the associate pastor of Favour House Church in Canterbury as well.
Okay.
Which is our church. We've been going 5 years, which is exactly the number of years the King's Summit's been running. This is our fifth year. And really, we're just doing a lot of work in the community, in the City View area of Canterbury, which is quite a poor area of Canterbury.
Mm-hmm.
We're established at the primary school there now.
Okay.
Which primary school, Simon?
It's called the Canterbury Primary School, actually.
Wow, they must have taken
sat
ages.
Sat all night.
Yeah, sat up.
It was a tough one.
Yeah.
I was just squeaking the other day, too.
And, of course, if you shorten that, it's TCP.
Oh. Which would be very good for you today.
It's good for gargling. Sorry about that.
So no, that's good. Yeah, so we're doing some good work over there. What else am I up to? I think just doing as much as I can at the moment to help local businesses, small businesses overcome what is
it's been a really challenging couple of years, hasn't it?
Probably in the history of being in business, there's very few times in history when you're facing, not a double whammy or a treble or a quadruple. There's so many things following the pandemic and Brexit and supply chains.
Yeah.
It's been
inflation,
endless.
Now interest rates are really biting. A number of companies that I've visited just this week are facing, some big bills on their loans.
Yeah.
As they've not fixed in to loans. Their mortgages, they weren't fixed in on their mortgages.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are facing real challenges there. And I think we're going to see a lot of business failure.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll talk to Simon later about a lot of the financial aspects here, but just to kind of prime him as well. For someone of my age, you can get a bit blasé, when people go, my mortgage is going to go to 5-6%. You go...
I remember my mine was 15.
My first house, I took it out in I bought my house in October 1978 when interest rates were 8%. By the following September they were 17%. And that was a pattern that went on through most of the 80s. Yes. But, of course, people have got used to paying low interest, and to come in one big blob, is, you know, and, of course, the price of houses now and the size of mortgages that people... Anyway, we'll talk to Simon about that, Simon W. about that later on. But so you're right, you know, people are facing unprecedented challenges, especially in small businesses. And as you alluded to yourself with your own conference, of course, a lot of the challenges we faced were knowable, even once they were knowable, if you see what I mean. You know, you had the government going, lockdown, right, end of lockdown, but you're in tier one. You know, well, what does that mean? Well, you're locked down again. Okay. Well, what about my office in Dartford? Now, that's in tier two. You can open that. And you go, oh, how am I going to work this? You know, it's just not going to work. Yeah. So we have had some pretty dire stuff. And to be honest, I don't think it's ended. I think we're going to face a lot more issues over the next few months as well.
Simon, what kind of businesses are you helping?
A lot of them are family businesses, which is great, but right across the piece from, you know, one or two small pharmaceutical-related companies, retailers, manufacturers, warehousing, everything really that you can manufacturing and construction, the big ones. But most of them that we work with tend to be family businesses. And right, it's really interesting right now, and maybe it's the demographics of the UK, I'm not sure, but there's a lot of family businesses we're working with where there's this, they're in this what I call handover period.
Right.
Mum and dad.
Yeah.
Mum and dad.
And the kids
take
over.
Maybe the pandemic frightened them and they thought, do you know what, let's retire now and let's get out.
I don't want to handle this.
Off to Malaga.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do the world cruise. I've just come from one family business and they're going on a cruise around Alaska or somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Don't blame them.
Yeah. You know, there's this handover period to son and daughter or to the sons or and it's really interesting because it's kind of like, here it is. Do you want it? No, we don't. Yes, we do. No, we don't.
Yeah.
And there's this push-pull going on.
Well, it's funny you should say that. I can't remember where I saw it. Somebody wrote anonymously, my dad's trying to pass the company over to me and I don't want it. How do I tell him I don't want it? You know, what do I say to him?
Have a grown-up conversation and find somebody else.
But you're right, you know, it's been unprecedented, hasn't it? And there's all kinds of strange things going on. And then on top of all that, we've had a massive talent shortage as well, where you couldn't recruit anybody for a year because nobody wanted a job. So it's been bonkers.
I heard a really good expression from my son the other day, who's a consultant in the city, and he said, the battle for talent is over.
Yeah.
Talent won.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's really quite interesting in that good people can now punch their own ticket because there are shortages in just about every sector,
every field,
every level.
Yep.
We are three people under complement in Talis at the moment and just trying to find the right people is really, really challenging.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, the government want to encourage growth.
Good luck with that.
But small businesses can't grow without the talent, without the people.
Absolutely.
Because they're capped. In that sense, you know, there's only so many.
Well, this is, again, it's something we'll talk to Simon W. about later on as well. But again, this is part of the problem, isn't it? That, you know, we need to grow. We really, really need to grow. But you can't get the talent. Our costs are going through the roof. Our income's going down. Regulation's going up. And you're in a perfect storm of not going anywhere. And if you're not careful, it's all going to collapse.
Well, we're not supporting our farmers either, are we? As far as I can see, farmers are being... There's a lump sum that they can get at the moment to give up their land.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it terrifies me that we're not growing our own food. And not being encouraged to grow our own food.
Plant-based mashed potato, that's the future.
Yeah, we need some.
Well, Bill Gates is buying up, isn't he?
Yeah. Can I just place one note of positivity in all this gloom?
Oh, we'd love some.
I get really cross about the fact that the Brits are brilliant at talking themselves down.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, there's no doubt we've been through a torrid time. Mm. It's been horrible.
Mm.
But they were saying only 3-4 weeks ago the UK was in recession. It was front page news, business pages everywhere. And last week they published the retraction.
Yeah.
Page 7, bottom column, we got it wrong. The UK actually grew last quarter. We got it wrong.
Yeah.
And they don't want to shout that because that doesn't suit the narrative of the media, because they've got it in their heads that gloom and doom sells and positivity doesn't. And I think they're wrong. I think we need some positivity.
Yeah, but it's clickbait. That's but all it is.
The trouble is positivity doesn't sell newspapers, and that's what the problem is.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
But it's clickbait because, doesn't sell newspapers. Nothing sells newspapers anymore.
Yeah, sure.
Because with the exception of maybe the New York Times, which seems to be doing rather well, most newspapers are dying.
Yeah.
The print-based media is dead. I'm sitting here looking at the news on my iPad as we speak to make sure nothing changes while we're talking.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, when you can do that real-time, 24/7, 365 days a year, who needs a newspaper?
Yeah, exactly. But a lot of that media is still driven by the old newspaper companies. So you've got the Mail Online and the Guardian Online and Independent Online and the New York Times. And the trouble is they all go for the bad news angle. And, you know, let's shake it up. Anyway, let's talk
that
about...
That was actually the thinking behind the King's Summit and why we started the King's Summit, because Simon's absolutely right. You know, what we need to harness and ignite is the entrepreneurial spirit that we have in this country. You know, we are a nation of shopkeepers.
Absolutely.
In one sense, we are a nation of entrepreneurs. Mm. And when we can spark that entrepreneurial spirit and get people to not ignore all this stuff, but park it and allow themselves the space and the time to spark that creativity, then the solutions that we see, you know, we just touched on peer groups, but when you get 10 entrepreneurs in a room together,
dynamic,
you know, the dynamic of it, and you create the right environment, and it's focusing on just the positive, just the opportunity. You know, we're going to, I won't give too much away about this year's King Summit, but you've probably seen this, where it's got the word opportunity and then N-O-W-H-E-R-E. And you read that either as opportunity is now here or nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's where you separate, it's what you see.
Yeah.
And the opportunity, actually, despite all the doom and gloom, as Simon's just said, is now here. And it's harnessing that.
You know, there's always positivity, or there's always opportunity. There is always opportunity in negativity as well. You know, one of the things that I saw about 18 months ago was there were a lot of people floating around the market buying up companies that were struggling. Because some people had cash and they were going, now's the time to buy it up and save it, because these companies are viable. It's just they can't, you know, the current management can't run.
It's Warren Buffett's run into the burning building.
Cool. So tell us exactly what the King Summit is all about, and when it's happening and where it's happening.
Okay. It was inspired 5 years ago by a vision that I had, and my pastor, King James, also had, of God saying...
Can I do my joke now?
Go on then.
I've read his book. King James.
King James. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a great name for a pastor.
Isn't it brilliant?
You know how certain people have certain names in a certain profession?
Yeah,
that's one of the best.
Yeah, definitely. It's like I saw a policeman called Rob Banks. And my old one as well. I went to school, primary school, with a girl called Teresa Green.
Yeah. I had a gardener called Julie Barrow. And another one called Sarah Root. And I was thinking, how does that happen?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, sorry, King.
Sorry, King James.
Yeah.
I'm friends with King James on Facebook. There you go.
He's a lovely...
He's downstairs in the green room.
At the moment,
he's
really
wonderful. Eating biscuits, hopefully. Because I notice there's none in the studio.
I'm on a diet.
I am not on a diet.
No,
and there's
am.
Not a ginger nut in the
there's
studio.
There's
it's
nothing.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
As soon as the news comes on, I'm hot desking down.
You're going to run out of time with me in a minute.
Yeah. You'll get a word in edgeways in a minute, Simon. Go for it. So, 5 years ago. Yeah.
We believe it's inspired by God giving us an instruction. This is 5 years ago, mind you, that businesses need help because... there are challenging times ahead. Now, when you look
back... You were a bit right about that, weren't you?
If only we knew what that was. But so the idea, this is our fifth year. We've had about 400 companies come through the King Summit in that time.
Right.
Many we keep in touch with.
Sure.
And many will tell us that the reason why they came was to get that inspiration to just take a morning out or a day out to work on themselves and on their business.
Yeah.
Just come out of it. because when you're in it, you know, you get to the point you can't see the wood for the trees. Sure. There's a lot of challenge in that. And so it's to take that time out in a room together. I think we've got about 70 or 80 companies coming this year.
Yep.
And we're just going to look at some really well-founded concepts and ideas around how do we run our business in this really challenging period. How do you take your business through a storm?
Right.
And come out the other end surviving and thriving.
Yep.
And so we have 6 speakers, mm-hmm. All entrepreneurs, all Christian business owners, all wanting to give something back to the business community to help them just to get some ideas, some inspiration, and see maybe explore some things that they might not have thought of to help them take their business through this, this period that's coming up.
Give us an idea of who some of the speakers are. I know Dan Mordub's one of the speakers. I know Dan very well. Yeah.
Yeah. A fantastic guy called Ian Harris.
Right.
He runs 3 companies, and one of them is called Keto Keto, which is a health bar.
Right.
And he's just had a big breakthrough with selling into Morrison's
and
what have you. But his journey has been really, it's really inspirational.
Right,
he's gone through really tough times to having a business that is looking like it's going to be thriving.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Health bar.
Health bar. Mm. Yeah. You'd love it.
I'm sure I would. I'd love it now.
I should have brought some free samples.
We'll get him to come on Scoff and Quaff.
Okay, and then we've got Josh Brown, who's an international, he's a young guy, but he's an international coffee expert.
Right.
What he doesn't know about coffee.
Yeah, I know Josh Brown very well. Josh? Yeah, I was at church with him. Yeah. He's married to the lovely Kat.
Yeah, he's a lovely
guy. He's an ace keyboard player.
Yeah, lovely guy.
So what kind of coffee? Is it beans or freshly roasted or...?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you haven't actually sampled this?
I haven't sampled the coffee yet. I'm waiting for him to take me out on a sampling session.
Exactly.
That would be really good. and as you've mentioned, Dan, we're sponsored again this year by Azetts Accountants, which is great. So they've got a speaker in chat called Stephen Grant, talking about force field analysis, planning, and that kind of stuff.
There are accountants. Really thinking. There you are. There's a plug. Yeah, well, Eddie Taylor, the Canterbury Partner. Eddie Taylor, the Canterbury Partner, is a really good bloke. Like him. Know him well.
Yeah, yeah. They are a good, great bunch of people, and they love the King's Summit, and this is their 5th year sponsoring it.
Right.
So that's really
fantastic.
You can't do these things, as you know, you can't do it without sponsors.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so it's really helpful when people catch that.
Yeah. I think I've been to 3 of them.
Yes.
3 of the King's Summits. Yeah.
Yeah. You have. It's a shame you're not around this Thursday.
I know it is. I'm involved in a couple of really big projects that I'm trying to pull together.
Cool. So it is this Thursday.
Right.
It's 8:30 because you know what Canterbury's like. You need to get in early, really.
Get there, get your brekkie.
We'll be done. We'll be finished by 1:00. Then there's lunch. It's like a networking lunch.
Right, okay.
Which will be great. It's at the St. Andrew's URC Church in Watling Street in Canterbury.
Fantastic.
So that's the church right opposite where the buses come into the bus station.
Yeah, by the back of Whitefriars.
The new building.
Whitefriars.
It's quite a new building, sort of hexagonal. Hexagonal shape.
Beautiful building.
Been in there.
Yeah, and the design of it's very clever because they built the church hall integral to the building, so you can open it up and there's all the church hall area there.
Right, okay.
So it lends itself nicely to the conference venue.
Yeah, and there's car park right behind it as well.
Car park right behind it.
Yeah.
Or park and ride in the bus.
Yeah,
get off the bus and you're literally there.
Yeah, if Canterbury has any park and rides left, they keep shutting them. Yeah. fantastic. And that's when did you say it is?
It's this Thursday.
It's this Thursday, yes.
8:30 in the morning.
8:30. Yeah, there's still tickets. Okay. There's only a few though, because we're almost at capacity on the size of the building.
So if people want to find out about it and maybe snap up one of the few remaining tickets, what's the best place to do that?
It's thekingssummit.com.
Fantastic. So the website is kingssummit.com. There is a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website. Look at it. Simon, wish you much success with it. I know in previous years it's been a rip-roaring success. As I said, I've been to 3 of them, and they were all different.
Yes.
Had different things.
Every year we make it very different.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's not the same old thing regurgitated every time by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
You've had 3 different formats in different ways, doing different things with different speakers, which is brilliant. Because it brings, so many new ideas into it. Yeah.
I think the final thing I would just say on it, unlike any other conferences, it's very interactive.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the speakers speak, but at the same time, they're getting the audience involved.
Yeah.
You end up writing stuff, doing stuff, speaking to people, walking around the room. There's a lot of interaction. You don't sit down for long.
Yeah.
So that's what I love about it is the interaction. In it.
Yeah. And it's no good going there for a kip at the back.
For a kip at the back. No.
We talked about it when the Archbishop of Canterbury was in Ashford earlier this year.
Yes.
And I meant to write it down and I forgot. And I'm looking at my diary thinking I've got three meetings on Thursday morning. I can't really get out of blast. But is it recorded?
We're live streaming on YouTube. So we have the King's Summit YouTube channel.
Right.
We'll be live streaming through there.
Cool.
So you can watch it afterwards as well.
Perfect.
And of course, we'll be around next year as well. So
absolutely.
I just don't know the date yet, but I'll let you know.
Yeah, do. So you can see the live stream on YouTube as well. You can go to the website and see if they've got any tickets left, but you'll have to hurry because there's not many. And we wish you much success with it, Simon, as always. It's always a fantastic event, and keep on keeping on. So for the moment, Simon Teague, thank you so much.
Bless you. Thanks.
Thank you. Right. Do you know, it's nearly time for the news.
I know. Shall I read something quickly? I've only got very long emails. Oh, here's one. The Kenton Medway Business Fund, the Tunbridge Wells launch. Kent County Council is running a business fund of loans to SMEs across the county, Simon.
Yay!
This Friday, the 7th of October, Tunbridge Wells Council is holding an information event for SMEs to learn more about the fund and the process of securing these loans. To find out more and book your place, please go to www.eventbrite.com/e/the Kent and Medway Business Fund. You could just go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and it will be on there.
It
click
will.
There.
Real.
Yeah, so that's great. That's some good news, Paul Andrews.
I've had a tweet from iTrust Assurance and they say, can we have a Business Bunker shout out? What does iTrust app do? It increases staff morale, increases staff recruitment, improves staff retainment, increases your reputation.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Pretty short and sharp. There
go
you go.
It.
Follow it.
And there's a business networking meeting at the Raj on Thursday, 27th of October.
Is that in Faversham?
In Faversham.
Yeah.
For a night of networking, the £30 will secure your seat and entitle you to a curry, rice dish of your choice, a selection of breads and a drink. And they say don't miss out. There's a local for you. So that's Cain & Co, C-A-I-N, caineandco.co.uk /curryandco. Details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Chips and Dinks tweeted earlier, welcome back to the Business Bunker, Jill Sirkin, they
Hello.
Say. Hope you're rested. So we've got two Simons on the show today. At least Paul won't get their names muddled up.
Actually,
he has and will. You know, he's called me Jules.
I don't think he does. He's called you Jules.
Yeah.
Has he?
Yeah.
It must be the dress you wear.
Yeah, it's a nice dress.
George and Mildred. It's the picture behind you. That's what threw me.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Cool. So that's Chips and Dinks. Follow them on Twitter.
And did I read out Simon Reeves ever? I think you interrupted me. Martin Reeves.
Martin Reeves.
Simon Reeves.
Simon on the brain.
For today, everyone, just to save confusion, everyone's called Simon.
Okay, Simon.
Did you see my tweet of saying we should have had Simon Pollard and Simon, my champagne friend? You didn't see it?
No, I didn't, Simon.
That's Twitter.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's Twitter.
That's Simon Jules, my co-host.
Yeah. Simon Pollard we could have had on.
Yeah. Simon wants to talk to you.
Yeah, well, I want to talk to him about my pond, which is going very well.
No, he wants to talk to you about recording them on one of their walks.
Yeah, I'll go on a walk with him.
I know you are. What happened was, he said, are you coming on the walk to me? I said, I can't, I've ruptured my
you
knee.
Can't
but
walk. No,
but
you're
Jules
not
wants to come, so he's going to talk to you.
I do, and I'll bring my dog as well, Darcy.
Yeah, exactly.
So Martin Reeves in the Vandellas says he'd love a shout out, please. We'll be listening on Catch Up today. Have a fab show. He's done a great GIF or JIF or whatever I call them. Great show. Yeah,
cool.
Thank you.
Paragon Drones, hey Paul and Jules, financial and business advice are always welcome in these interesting times. We'd love a mention. Thank you very much. Have a great stonking show with lots of great tunes. That's the lovely folks at Paragon Drones. What's on in Kent? Yes, please, can we have a Business Bunker shout out? We have a competition running on our Instagram. Any support would be appreciated, and that's What's On in Kent. Which is fantastic.
I like a nice competition.
Yeah, and you go to their What's On In Kent Instagram account to see what that competition is all about.
Oh. And Stephanie Young, that's Steph, S-T-E-P-H, Young, Z-A for Cape Town, says, good afternoon, Paul, Jules and Simon and Simon and Simon and Simon. Lovely to hear your voices. Lovely to hear you back, Jules, and hope you feel better soon, Paul. I think that means... you ill.
Yeah.
B Bunker.
Bit croaky.
Yeah. B Bunker, hashtag, she's done. Yeah, and she's listening on the wireless.
Are you?
There's a lovely picture of a wireless.
Cool.
Goodness me.
Sarah Marsh Collings.
Huh? I just said those things still exist.
Yeah. I think most people get confused now. Do you know, the biggest biggest boon to us as a radio station has been Alexa. So many people listen on their Alexa or smart speaker.
I Googled, asked Alexa who Jules Serkin was the other day, and she piped up Channel Radio.
Did she?
And talks about Hashimoto's. And then I asked her about my husband, who's much more superior than me, and she didn't really say much about him. Said something about Bloomberg.
Sorry, is that Alexa via Global Player, or is that a Channel Radio app now? Just so tell us how to do it.
Paul, no. What you do, if you've got a smart speaker, you have to enable skill channel radio.
All right, okay.
Right, and once you've enabled the skill, then whenever you want to listen, you go, Alexa, play channel radio.
All right, okay. It's as easy as that.
It's as easy as that.
Not in my house. That. Or
she couldn't make it work. Everybody else can.
No, Zenat can't either. So it must be something about me and Zenat.
Yeah.
Maybe mine are old. I've had mine years.
Yeah. You turned yours off anyway.
And we've got four.
Mm. So that's the problem. The problem is your prime. You need to enable the skill on the primary one, and you don't know which one's your primary one.
You could come round and sort it out. No. That's what I thought.
It's probably the app on your phone.
Yeah.
Was a serious comment.
Okay.
If you've got the Alexa app on your phone, that's where you have to enable the skills, and then propagates on your smart speakers.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm.
Exactly.
Propagate. That's a good word.
You like that word, propagate. I've been talking to our tech friend.
Mm. Absolutely. So, yes, Alexa or any smart speaker will play channel radio.
And our lovely friend Wayne Cunnington's listening in. He's at Tesco's using their Wi-Fi, having a coffee.
Hello, Wayne.
And he's listening in, and he said something.
Did he?
Of
blimey.
Interest. No, going back to the electrical, I'll just get my WhatsApp up. He said, if the electric grid needs the power, I was talking about your car, I guess, Simon, they will withdraw it from your battery car that's charging overnight.
Yeah.
No, I don't. That doesn't make any sense to me because boffin geek.
Wasn't it Elon Musk who said that he would like to create an electric vehicle that can charge your house?
Yeah.
You drive home, you get home, and in fact, I've never understood why when your wheels are turning on your car, why isn't the car just generating its own electricity?
There are cars. Cars that will do that.
And there was going to be the walkway. There was.
But don't get too carried away.
Formula
walkway
One.
In malls, shopping malls or malls or whatever they're called, where when you're walking, you're generating. There was a guy from Kent College invented it years ago.
Formula One has got a power recovery system built into its cars. My Mercedes has got a battery charger in it that when you're under braking, but it brakes. But the problem is to go up a hill, it burns more electricity than it generates when it goes down, so you have a net deficit, and that's effectively why.
Nearly all hybrids are self-charging as well.
Don't forget the news, Paul Andrews.
No, we've got a minute. Most hybrids are self-charging under braking and what have you. So that is something that does happen.
Well, I'm reading my manual on my little generator this weekend to see exactly what I can do with it. And if I can't do enough, I'm going to get a bigger generator. And you can come round.
What are you going to use the generator for?
Because I'm pretty certain we're going to get power cuts.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
I'll get my mum round. We'll creep round a little fire.
So it's a diesel generator? Yeah.
It's a solar.
You got a solar generator?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
With a battery.
Yeah.
We had a diesel generator when we were in Y, because we worked from home in Y, and we got power cuts fairly regularly. And so we actually wired a generator into the whole wiring circuit of the house.
So when the power cut,
the computers had still run and the phone still worked.
Yeah, no, I used to have that at my old house,
But my new husband, who's a lot younger than me, was asking me about the 70s and candles. I can't remember the three-day week and that, but I do remember my mum having lots of candles everywhere.
I do remember it. Anyway, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we've got another guest to talk to. We're going to talk to Simon W.
I'm going to go and get biscuits.
She's going to go and get biscuits. And hopefully me a cup of coffee. But let's